Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent us the Prince of Peace. And that means something. That meant the world to you. Lord, it really is everything to us. Lord, let that peace abide in our hearts and minds. Lord, not everybody knows that you are the Prince of Peace, but you have shown us, Lord, that Jesus is. And we thank you for that. Lord, may that create faith and sustain faith that, Lord, is evident for our own hearts to see and minds and those around us. Lord, we thank you for your immense patience and your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about peace. I want to share with you a little bit about that. Please turn with me, if you would, to your outlines, and I will get to those points in there shortly. We've been journeying through Advent together, and we've been looking at hope and love and joy. Now we're to peace. One of the things that I would like to share with you and remind you of is that for us, when we talk about Advent, we're talking about these attributes of God, love, hope, joy, and peace, as something that is really coming to us from the pages of the Old Testament. They're not something that was just made up, but they're anchored in promises that were written thousands of years before they were fulfilled. And that is something really significant that should give us a lot of peace in believing and in knowing. I don't know if I shared it with you, but as far as the odds of like someone fulfilling these promises that are about Jesus Christ, like being born in Bethlehem, and his death on the cross, and the spear that we sang about in the song, and the nails, that actually prophesied verbatim in the Old Testament. When you add up even the most clearest ones, the odds of that is a 10 to a Googleplex. Now, Pete, as an electrical engineer, that we can't even begin to fathom what that number would be, I think. But the odds are just absolutely incredible. So we're looking at the fulfillment being Christ, Christ being the sacrifice, and the reason for our celebration, and then we hope for that. We hope for when he comes back again. Now we're living in this time of hope and expectation. So concentrating on peace, I found this story that was amazing. It's interesting. I had this in the message, and then I was hearing it on TV. I saw it, and then I heard about it actually on the radio. And it was from December 1914. You probably heard this story, but it was on Christmas Eve. And this is during World War I. And of course, that was a hideous, horrible war. And you would not think of peace where you have the cold cruelty of war. It just doesn't seem to be compatible together. And yet, on that evening, the Germans started singing Christmas carols. And I don't know if you know the story, but I'll just share it with you briefly. As they started singing Christmas carols, the English heard it, and they didn't know really what was going on, of course, because they're in the business of killing each other. And so they really didn't know, do we even peer over the foxhole? Was it just a ploy for one of them to poke their head out so that they could get blown away? And so they kept hearing this, and it continued. And then the Germans made the first advance. They actually approached through this no man's land and came over to the other side. And they celebrated Christmas together. That's just absolutely unheard of. And there's actually a documented soccer game that they played together. And they shared gifts. It was just a wonderful, glorious time in the midst of really just horrible suffering. And it was this Christmas truce that was never repeated. The officers made sure of it by giving threatening punishments to the soldiers if they were to ever do such a thing again. And I think in a similar way, God really brings peace. His peace can fill and rule our hearts and minds even when we are surrounded by death and misery and hurt. And I think that there were some of the soldiers at that time that would have just done that just out of some sort of tradition or just out of some sort of Christmas idea or humanity idea. But there are some who are believers and believe in Jesus Christ and have that to the core of their being and know that that person on the other side, in spite of the fact that I have to kill this person, is a brother of mine in Christ. And I'm going to celebrate that. And I think there is a peace on that level that passes our human understanding. And that peace is a glorious thing. Now to the shepherds, because we want to look at the shepherds, how they are an example of peace. It is possible. And the shepherds, for us, are a good example. I pray that I'm able to share with you how they are an example of how God's peace works. So, I think I've said many times, and you probably heard perhaps many, many, many times in sermons, how the shepherds are really low lifers, and they're like the lowest of the low. I think I've said that in many Christmas sermons in my years of preaching and stuff. And I think that's true, but that's not really, I don't think the point, I mean, I think there's something more here that we really want to look at as far as the shepherds were concerned. Because let's say in Jesus' day, and it probably is true, let's say they are low, and even if it is true that they're motley crew above all, there's a deeper meaning to consider. That while they did have this place in society that they occupied, certainly any faithful Jew would have known that shepherds were not despised among their people. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac, Jacob was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. And I think there is something really important about the shepherds that God is elevating, you see, because in this kind of caste system that they have of the Pharisees and the Sadducees being on top, Jesus Christ as the shepherd comes to the shepherds first to show really his office as shepherd. And in Hebrews 13:20, the beautiful verse, it says, the great shepherd of the sheep. Why is he that? It says in that text, by the blood of the covenant, he's the great shepherd of the sheep. Peter takes it up in 1 Peter 2:25. He says, the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And now these shepherds, I'm sure, aren't accustomed to angelic beings appearing. It would have been quite amazing. All of a sudden, this angel of light appears in front of them, and it would just be absolutely incredible. We read in the gospel text of the story, they're out there in the fields and they're just minding their business. And then the angel appears. And then, you know, you wonder what's going on there. And then all of a sudden this glowing guy in the sky tells them not to be afraid. He says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He's Christ. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That's pretty amazing. And then there's even more. It says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appear, and the angels with the angel praising God. Now listen to these words. I want to tie them together. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Because I think the angels, every word in Scripture is important in the sense that God has especially chosen what he wants to say to us and preserved it for us in the timeless Scriptures. And, you know, I think they had a really good announcement to these terrified shepherds. And while we're talking about the shepherds, I wonder what the sheep were doing. You ever wonder about that? I mean, you know, sheep usually are not classified as very bright. And, you know, I mean, I wonder if they're just kind of just standing there stunned, or are they running around, Are they fleeing? Are they running? Are the shepherds trying to figure out, hey, do I listen to these angels singing and talking to us? Do we go after the sheep over which we're responsible for? What are we going to do here? You know, what I'm getting to is there's anything but peace in this situation. So if in your life there is not peace, you are not alone. And the angels spoke peace in what was very, very likely a very unpeaceful situation. And I'm sure the shepherds were probably thinking, peace to you. They're probably like, who, me? Who are you talking to? And why us? You know, what's the deal here? I think the focus is on what the angels have said. So let's consider this. They get it right. Of course, because they're sent by God to this message. Glory to God, peace on earth. Glory to God. Why glory to God? Why are they singing glory to God? Some people just might think, well, because we just sing that. We're church people. That's kind of a churchy thing to do. Glory to God. What gives glory to God? What's his number one attribute? What's the Lord's number one attribute? There actually is one among his many wonderful, incredible attributes. He says the number one attribute, God is love. God is love. You need to note that. God is love. That's who he is. That's the number one characteristic that defines who our God is. He is love. And what glorified him most is coming into this world to people that don't know him, that don't love him, that can never pay him back, that actually hate him, that actually do things that hurt other people, and love them at no cost, not requiring them to love him back. That's amazing. And just loving freely, absolutely freely. So much so that he was willing to put on flesh and blood so that he can actually sense and feel and hurt and joy and know everything from the inside out of who we are. You cannot get a greater understanding of love than that. It is just incredible. And it is the essence of who God himself is. And God is so proud of that fact that he gave that much love. In the book of Colossians, in that second chapter, he points to the cross and he calls out through Colossians to all of the demons and all of the ones that are in against him, and he points to the cross and he says, look at that cross. He says, at that cross, he says, that's my glory. That I love people that much, and I did it freely, and forever that love is going to stand. And it is the most interesting and fascinating thing to me that when we get to heaven, one of the visions that we will never fail to see are the marks that exist on our Savior's hand, feet, and side, because they magnify the love of Jesus Christ. That's why the angels are singing glory. And who are they singing about? To you, me. That's why there's peace. Because there is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that has brought us together to God, which is what he wants and what he desires. And so they're singing glory to God, and behind that is the love of God in Jesus Christ, and that is our peace. Our peace is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Look at this beautiful verse from Ephesians. You can see Paul just marveling at this. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are far away from God are brought near through the blood of Christ's death. Christ himself is our peace. He has made both Jewish people and those who are not Jews one people. He's brought them together. He speaks peace into your life. Into our lives that are not peaceful. And they're not. And peace transforms us and calms our storms. Karen rightly mentioned, you know, in your kids' menu, you mentioned praying. And I think it's good to mention that, if you don't mind, because, you know, prayer is important, and sometimes we get confused. We think, you know, prayer is not a means of grace, it's you know, it's a work that we do or something like that. But, you know, you stop and think about the words of Jesus Christ when he asked his apostles, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter says, "Well, you're Christ, the Son of the living God." And he says, you know, flesh and blood, Peter, didn't reveal that to you. The Spirit of God revealed that to you. And I can guarantee you that even in your darkest days, you know, if when you pray to Jesus Christ, it is God's Spirit that revealed to you that Christ is the one that hears your prayers and the one that will respond. And sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to just hold out. Sometimes we don't see the results that we think we should see. But it is God's Spirit that is working in us that has kindled faith and caused our eyes to see. Flip the switch so we're able to see and we're able to know. No, it's not a work, it's grace. That God has actually shown us that and we respond. And you know, Christ, actually in his ministry, he worked to show that he is enlightening our hearts and minds. And he wants us in our lives to when you run into difficulties and when you run into trials, and that's why I like that video so much, because the guy took it to heart. He actually said, hey, this Word of God thing, I'm going to let the Word of God be the power that it is and that God says and claims that it is, so let it speak to me. Open up your heart to the Word of God. Let that speak to you. Let it transform your mind and shape you. That beautiful verse, look at the verse in your outline. Now, just think about this verse for a moment. Because there is so much negativity, oh my goodness, in our culture nowadays. You think, just too much negativity. Look what Paul says. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. So focus your heart and mind on those things. I know you might tend to think of the things that have let you down or the person that has let you down or how you can't measure up or how this has happened, or that has happened, and all this is going to happen and all these other things. And you know, he's saying, hey, look at what is true. You think about these things. You put your mind on those things. And the end result, he says, is the peace of God is going to be with you. You focus on those because Christ is in you. That is our hope. That is our hope of glory. That is the boast that we have. We boast in Jesus Christ, Paul says. It is real. Faith is real. It is powerful. And it is powerful for the living Word that lives in us, and that brings us peace. And it is a journey. It is a journey. It is a journey of growth. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. But I need you to get there. I will not get there without you. God has chosen this notion of sharing the faith through the words that others speak. In this case, it's preaching. It might be you to maybe a brother or a friend or whatever, but this is how God's done it, and it's an amazing thing. And this peace is real. It is real. Let's believe God for it. Let's trust him for it. I'd like to leave you with a couple of examples that come to mind. You know, I was thinking about the apostles when they were two instances when they were crossing the lake of Galilee. They got into a storm. The first time that they went across, it was interesting because they were pretty sure that they were going to die, and the storm was really bad. And I think it's a little bit hilarious because Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And of course, isn't it true sometimes we're not sure if God is really aware of what we're going through? You ever been angry at God? I know people that have, and I was talking to somebody recently. It's real. God's not angry at you, though, I can assure you. And they see Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat, And their thought is, don't you care? Jesus, God, he spoke peace. You see, he wanted them to begin to realize in their heart, in their mind, that it's real. He's there. I pray this would get in your hearts and minds, and that, and then there's another time, very fascinating, where they're going across the lake, and this time they're by themselves. And I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke. They're by themselves, but the Gospel writer makes it very clear to note that Jesus went up on the hill, and it says he was watching them the whole time. And he was actually knew exactly everything that was happening. And he showed up right at the right time. And it's really good for us to remind ourselves of that. We need to, when we go through situations that rob us of our peace. So, well, let that be an encouragement to you. You're a child of God. And that means something to God. It really does. And he wants us to cultivate this deeper relationship with him, whereby we can actually come to know his peace regardless of what this life is throwing at us. And that's really to his glory, our faith in Christ. May God bless you and strengthen you and give you a wonderful holiday season. Looking forward to celebrating all the goodness and grace of God as we celebrate Christmas together on Tuesday. But God keep you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.